How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you in worship face to face and also to be with you in worship online. Interesting times, all the more that we are going through right now. And our readings definitely are timely for such a time as this. Shouldn't be surprised as God's word is living and active. So, a few questions to keep in mind as we get into our worship service for today. Does your worldview shape your view of the Bible, or does the Bible shape your worldview? In other words, as long as the Bible agrees with my worldview, we will follow it. But when the Bible conflicts with my worldview, well, then we neither need to alter or ignore that part of the Bible. Just because we are Christians does not mean that we do not try to influence the Bible with our own worldview. That explains why there are so many different churches and belief systems. Even with what we are going through now during this COVID situation, are we telling God what the Bible should have said, or are we trying to fall in line with what He has said? Sometimes the answer is not as easy as 1 + 1 = 2. So we come together to have our worldview fall in line with God's worldview, His biblical view. We do this without biting and devouring each other, for that is of no advantage to us or to the world Jesus has called us to be witnesses to. God help us then understand what standing up for His truth, especially during these times, is to look like. With that in mind, we turn our attention to our worship service. It's printed out for us in the bulletin. That bulletin can be found online on our website under the media link, or also under the Staying Connected to God's Word link, or on that email if you're on our email list that was sent out to you, along with other handouts, the weekly news, Bible study information, and so on. Let us turn our attention to the opening song, verse 1. Please stand as we continue on the bottom of page 3. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven, as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord. Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. Amen. Please be seated.
Bye.
Are people good at handling the truth, especially about themselves? In order to heal, we need the truth. And the best truth of all has to center around Jesus. We hear these words from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah then returned from Topheth, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and stood in the court of the Lord's temple and said to all the people, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on this city and all the villages around it every disaster I pronounced against them, because they were stiff-necked and would not listen to my words. When the priest Pashur, son of Immer, the official in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. The next day, when Pashur released him from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, 'The Lord's name for you is not Pashur, but terror on every side. For this is what the Lord says, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. With your own eyes you will see them fall by the sword of their enemies. I will give all Judah into the hands of the king of Babylon, who will carry them away to Babylon or put them to the sword. I will deliver all the wealth of this city into the hands of their enemies, all its products, all its valuables, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah. They will take it away as plunder and carry it off to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who live in your house, will go into exile to Babylon. There you will die and be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies.'" The word of the Lord. We turn to our psalm for today, Psalm 31. We'll speak the verses of the psalm together. We'll sing the first and last refrain. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Deliver me in your righteousness. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. My times are in your hands. Save me in your unfailing love. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. You heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Even in the midst of hardship, the Apostle Paul kept the conversation focused on the facts. That's a good reminder and example for us even today. We hear these words from Acts 23. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law. Yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck. Those who were standing near Paul said, How dare you insult God's high priest? Paul replied, Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest. For it is written, Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits. But the Pharisees believe all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. We find nothing wrong with this man, they said. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. The word of the Lord. Verse 3 of Stand Up for Jesus. Please stand up. God does expect it of us. What it looks like, an indication from our gospel reading, Matthew chapter 10. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Verse 4, which is found on page 10. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, and this is possible from God our Father through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus back in on the words of the gospel reading, Matthew chapter 10, where we hear once again, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who then through the work of the Holy Spirit using the means of grace leads us to confess Jesus as our rock and our redeemer, and who has called us to be salt and light in this world. While others may see fit to break the law openly, God give us wisdom in how to be salt and light and walk that fine line of showing our allegiance to Him while also standing up for freedom. A good text to wrestle with. At a time like this, before we get into it, another question. Are you easily frightened? Some people are easily frightened as they see a mouse in the house. For others, it might take a bear chasing them through the woods to be frightened. And hopefully they're with someone else that they can run faster than. Are people by nature afraid to die? Take away the macho, and this would be a safe bet if we were to do that. All people by nature are afraid to die. Can we overcome fear? Certain fears we can. Even the fear of death. Keeping in mind, though, that death is not natural, because death was not a part of God's creation, rather came as a result of Adam and Eve's sin. So we can overcome fears, including death. But even overcoming the fear of death is something that we as Christians will struggle with from time to time. And so we need the constant reminders from our Lord of to not be afraid, in particular today of death, and how death may come to His followers. So the Lord, through Matthew, by way of the Holy Spirit, encourages us to not be afraid. You know what is coming. The Lord has made that clear. And you can get through this. The Lord makes that also very clear. So as we deal with the causes of fear, including fearing what the future here on earth holds for us and for our children and for our grandchildren, the Lord holds out these words before us as a reminder and an encouragement. And so we take a careful look at these words before us. Again, our Lord tells us to not be afraid. For we do know by His doing what is to come. What we are dealing with, it is not a surprise. And so there is legitimate fear that we are to wrestle with. even as Christians. Keep in mind the context of these words, the disciples being sent out into the world, in particular to the lost sheep of Israel. And the Lord Jesus makes it very clear what they can expect and what they will encounter because of their proclaiming Jesus in the flesh, along with his message of sins forgiven by grace through faith, not by works. He tells them that families will be divided. Friends will turn on friends. Has much changed throughout history? On account of Jesus, families are divided still today. Friendships have been lost on account of Jesus, which may at times lead us as followers of Jesus to question our following Jesus. But at the end of these words before us today, the Lord makes it very clear where we are to stand. Whoever acknowledges him before people, family, friends, and so forth, whoever acknowledges him now, he will acknowledge for all time. But whoever disowns him now will be away from him forever. What exactly does that look like? That acknowledgement of him and disowning of him, what does that consist of? Well, we are given an indication of that in these words. And that's where we ask the Lord for wisdom and making sure that we are following his biblical worldview and not our personal worldview. Because we may think something is infringing on our freedoms, but the Lord may indicate that's not what I had in mind. Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men, does not cover the kitchen sink. But it does contain a lot, and we'll get into that in a moment. So, dear friends, we know what is coming. Due to the world's view and God's view being in conflict with one another. And so we can expect conflict. Nothing new throughout history. Ever since the fall into sin, there has been conflict between the world's view and God's view. Do people want to bring harm to the church? Sure. Perhaps even your own family members and those who were once your friends. But not everybody is out to do harm to the church or harm to your faith. So, Lord, grant us wisdom in knowing who is who and what is what. Because conflict will arise when we stand for the truths of God's Word. And those truths are summed up for us in the Ten Commandments. What God expects of us and what he does not want to see from us. Bottom line, those commandments boil down to love. God indeed does love his creation and wants what is best for his creation, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That cannot always be said of the world's view, can it? Is the world in and of itself looking out for your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being? Are drug dealers looking out for your physical well-being or for their own well-being? For those who want to do harm to your body by way of sex, knowing that they may have something which could be passed on, but don't care? Or, as a result of that action, a life in the womb is formed, and the too often encouragement is to get rid of it. Is that person looking out for your physical, emotional, spiritual well-being? God created Adam and Eve. And yet, the world speaks against that. Is the world looking out for our physical, emotional, spiritual well-being? We can't expect conflict when we stand up for what God has clearly said on these and other matters. Jesus himself expected conflict when he came here in the flesh, and that is exactly what he received. Jesus made it clear that he was and is the promised Messiah, and he proved it through words, and he proved it through actions that only God could do, and that God could say. But he struck a nerve when he would say, it's not by observing the law that one is saved. Rather, the law points out our need for what God has provided through the Messiah. And so conflict arose. Those who were in conflict with Jesus were not looking out for the physical, emotional, and above all spiritual well-being of the people they were to serve. By putting heavy burdens on their consciences and on their hearts, rather than the pure love of God and what he had promised his people for time and for eternity. And the conflict that Jesus went through, well, that conflict led to his own death. He knew it was coming. And he knew it had to be that way so that we could be free in Christ now and for all eternity. So that we, when conflict arises in our own life between the worldview and God's view, we don't have to be afraid. Because they may be able to do harm to us, even to the point of take our life. But what can't they take from us, thanks to Christ Jesus? And that's where the Lord focuses his disciples' attention then and still today. The larger view. What can't be taken away from you? They can take away singing, they can take away our gathering together in person, but what still cannot be taken away at the heart of your faith is what? Not the gathering together, not the singing, but the message of sins forgiven through a crucified and risen Savior. And with that news of sins forgiven comes a relationship with God, not just now, but for all eternity. And so we may lose some earthly freedoms, but don't let those earthly freedoms distract us, the loss of them, distract us from what has been won for us and is waiting for us. That causes us to do some soul searching. And that is good, because soul searching directs us where? Back into God's Word. God, help us understand, what is your view? What is it that you expect of us? What is it that we need to stand up for? And what is it that, well, this one we do not need to pull out all the stops. The Lord himself tells us to be shrewd as snakes and wise as doves. He doesn't tell us to go into harm's way just to go into harm's way. But if it comes, be ready for it. And by the grace of God, through faith, the work of the Holy Spirit, we are ready. God has prepared us for now and for what is to come. And so don't be afraid. Jesus knew that some people who were followers of him would fall to pressure. Hey, even Peter ended up denying the Lord Jesus. But he was restored. It's not the denial in itself that condemns us before God, but that repeated, hardened denial and rejection of Jesus that leads us to eternal separation from him. The disciples, while they were going out into the world, their lives would be threatened. Recall the Apostle Paul and how his life was threatened. And so the Lord said to them, and he says to you and me, if our life is threatened, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Your future is secure because of what Christ has done for you. Be shrewd, be innocent. You can get through this. It's not about winning the argument. So we need to keep our feelings in check. And we need to make sure that when we are speaking, it is what the Lord has told us to say and not our personal injection of what we want the Lord to say. Winning the argument is up to the Lord. He has called us to plant the seeds of the gospel, to stand up for the truth. And even when persecution against his people back in the day was hot and heavy, and it still is in other parts of the world, again, he doesn't say you have to run into harm's way. Be shrewd and be innocent. Perhaps you can live to fight another day and reach another soul. But if that harm does come to you, don't be afraid. So keep the feelings in check. How often do we act and react out of emotion rather than out of the substance of God's Word? Stick with the facts and the truths. Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples indeed. And what's at the heart and soul of his teachings? Sins forgiven by grace through faith, not by our works. God did indeed create the world in 6 24-hour days for our benefit. He does hold us accountable to his commandments, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. John 3 sums up beautifully our hope. Whoever believes in him will live, even though they die. And then in John 11, he emphasizes too, whoever believes in him and dies, well, really does not die, but lives on forever. How important it is then for us to confess Jesus as Lord now and to hold on to that confession so that we can be His witnesses now and have eternal life. Because those who don't believe, well, they stand condemned now already. And perhaps this time that we are going through helps test where we're at. Are we okay with God as long as life is going my way and He accepts my worldview? Or are we going to follow the Lord and His commands, even though it may be an inconvenience to my way of living? God grant us the wisdom and the insight to know when is what. And for that insight, we need to be right where we're at, in His Word. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such a time like this causes us to search the Scriptures, to pray, to talk to others, to sharpen iron. And as we do that, we're reminded of God's certainties. That as long as we remain in Him, don't be afraid. He's got you. He's got this. We may not know the immediate future of how this all plays out, but we do know the bigger future. And so live your life continually in light of that. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We pray. O Lord our God, You are wise and powerful, good and gracious. Your mercies are new every morning. Each day You open Your hand and provide for the needs of Your children on earth.
We praise You for every grace and blessing.
Strengthen Your church in all the world. Let Your comforting message of salvation in Christ Jesus be proclaimed to troubled souls everywhere.
Use our ministries and offerings to extend Your healing and Your hope.
We bring You our requests for the various structures of our society. Bless our national, state, and local governments.
Grant us civil servants who are worthy of honor and respect.
Grant prosperity to our businesses and industries. Give employers a sense of fairness toward their workers, and employees a feeling of joy and pride in their workmanship.
Help us find satisfaction in all work well done.
Invigorate the schools of our land. Give success to every effort that helps students read, think, and communicate in ways that will promote an informed and responsible citizenry. Arouse curious minds to discover the wonders of your created order.
Give us teachers and students who pursue excellence.
Strengthen the families of our country. Give fathers and mothers a renewed commitment to be good parents. And give children and young people the wisdom to regard their parents as your representatives.
Lead us to love one another as you have loved us.
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you. But O best of all, your grace is with your love, our love renew. Be with Joyce Robbins as this past week she needed medical attention. Bring answers and healing for physical health, we pray. Continue to renew her in the trust she has in you by your grace. Be with Jack Fox and his family as they mourn the death of his former sister-in-law, Kathy. This is another reminder of how precious life here on earth is and how seriously we are to take your word on the fact that this life is temporary, and we need to be prepared now for what is to come after we die. Help Jack remain your witness to your truths. Bring healing and comfort to Kathy's family and friends. These are not easy times, Lord, as conflict abounds from multiple avenues, people even twisting your word to make their case. Give us an increase of wisdom when it comes to your word, understanding it and putting it into practice. Bring healing to the people of this world, spiritual, physical, and emotional, as we deal with the impacts of COVID, hatred, stress, self-centered agendas, and more. Move us, the disciples of Jesus, to be the salt and light you have called us to be, showing respect and love, which may at times come off as tough love, as we strive to speak the truth of your law with the goal of speaking the truth of your gospel. Help us remember that what happens in this lifetime is temporary, in comparison to what comes after this life on earth. Keep us glorifying your name, growing in your grace, and going out with your gospel. Your love, Lord, for our life is evident in multiple ways. For those celebrating a birthday this week, continue to have your blessings be evident in their lives. And continue to deepen the love and commitment of those celebrating a wedding anniversary. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Gracious Father, we pray boldly as Jesus taught, with the confidence that you will hear and with the faith that you will respond for our welfare. Amen. As we continue with the sacrament, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he is betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, too, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always." Amen. Again, please come forward in a continuous format. At the usher's direction, we'll start on this side, exit the outside of the aisle, come back to your pew from the center aisle, same over here, you exit to the outside, you'll come back through the center. So this side, you're coming all the way through the entryway down the west aisle. Stop for a moment, receive the body of our Lord, and then come and receive the blood of our Lord. this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. You are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We now hear the words, "Go in the grace of the Lord." Just to highlight a few announcements, Bible study today, we're still looking at the Gospel of Matthew, and that'll take place here in the church sanctuary. If you're using the 8 o'clock pew, then continue to use that pew for the Bible study, and that way the 1045 attendees can use the 1045 pews, and we'll keep things as proper as we can that way. The Sunday school is not offered today. We'll let you know when that starts up again. Mission Box, LWMS, the Mission Box continues as the gospel is still going out and about throughout the world. So any way that you can support the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society and their support of the missionaries throughout the world, please keep that in mind. You can check out more information there on the information board and pick up those boxes to fill up with your loose change. Script cards, again. If you're interested in purchasing a script card, you can contact Linda Haffill in the office. You can use those script cards as a gift then for our new teacher coming, as we're putting those gift cards together for a welcome package for our new teacher, Hannah Stegman. And then also for the farewell gift for the Bengals, if you're inclined to do that, even though they are already out of California, we still plan to send them a farewell gift. So you can send those cards and or gifts to the church office, and we'll forward them as a group then to the Bengal family. And then for the Hannah, our new teacher, there's a basket there in the entryway that you can deposit those cards into or send them to the church office during the week. Bulletins, again, please recycle them in the entryway or take them home and digest them. Maybe sing all the verses at home. Go through the further things to reflect on. Fellowship is outside. Beautiful day, morning to be outside in fellowship on the patio or in the parking lot, provided you don't get run over. Keep that in mind. Now, these are challenging times, and we want to, you know, again, make sure that we follow what Scripture says, of course, first and foremost. But we want to make sure this doesn't become political. We may have disagreements with certain people, but that doesn't mean that we act them out here in church. Jesus did say, render Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And so we work through, again, what is not compromising the truths of God's word versus maybe it's hurting our personal freedom, but it's not compromising the truth of God's word. And that's where the struggle comes in. And so, again, just your prayers and patience, because we are conflicted even in our church by the emails and the phone calls and so forth. We are conflicted. So don't think this is easy on us as your leaders, as your elders and pastors, as we wrestle too with, again, not compromising the truth and saying maybe God is telling us, okay, I'm not asking you to sacrifice your child like Abraham was asked to sacrifice, but maybe we have to sacrifice some personal freedoms to be salt and light in this world. Two wrongs don't make a right. And so we can't use the wrongs of society to justify our breaking the law as well. So we struggle. And I'll leave it at that. Have a great day in the Lord.